Blog Talk Radio. All right.
God bless. We're back. Had a little technical difficulty right there. Before the interruption, Minister Tobit was talking. I posed a question on, we're in 1 Corinthians 7. To all the members, those of you that are listening, that are tuning in, if you're back in with us, if you can text, you know, someone else, someone that you may have known that was on. I think Mr. Tobit just sent out a mass text to some of the members that we're coming back. We just want to pick up from Minister Tobit from the question that I posed. Why would Paul tell the Corinthians church, or why would he say it is good for a man not to touch a woman? And Minister Tobit was wrapping up his. Minister Tobit, real briefly, just give me a little bit more of what you were saying. Why would Paul make that statement? First of all, that's pretty much what he's saying, is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Okay, so real briefly, I would just say that, in my opinion, where I think that he's coming from is, of course, to be able to kind of just, in a sense, as far as we know how it is with your relationship with a woman and stuff like this, and this is coming from how you get into something so early on versus when you're not married and stuff like that. So I think it's more so, you know, protecting, you know, the man and the mindset, of course, because your average man, that's the weakness, is a woman, you know, and especially let alone once they begin to have, you know, the sexual relations. So I think that that can throw off different things, can throw off your mindset, throw off your focus to a degree, you know, and stuff like that. And you get, especially once you get wrapped up in fornication. So it's definitely something that wants to try to steer clear so that you can, you know, stay focused on, you know, of course, not only, you know, your relationship with God, but, you know, make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's part of a distraction. So that's pretty much the sum of that.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Great response. Deacon Bugs, what are you thinking? Deacon Bugs.
I think it's, he said that off rip because he knows that our flesh is just weak. And of course we tend to think that before we think about, okay, now what would Jesus do? Now what am I really supposed to do? And then I think back to, on, at this time, everybody is still very, very, very new, fresh Christians. So, of course, everybody has a lot of questions for Paul at this time because, you know, everybody's wanting to do right and whatnot, and he's Paul's at the point of getting tired of explaining everything and telling everybody the right things. But God, I mean, Jesus put him in this position for a reason, to be that first apostle for us, to be able to lead the way and show the way for all the churches and whatnot, and all the different countries and everything like that. So that's what I think. I think our just flesh is weak, and he's just telling us that, hey, patience is a virtue. So just wait, because like my wife was saying, once the call ended, marriage is a gift. Sex is a gift too. Sex is a gift that comes with marriage. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Great point. Now I want y'all to pay close attention to what he said. These are new converts, okay? This Corinthian church, these are new converts. So they, of course, they've been brought up a certain way. They've been, you know, raised a certain way in a lot of pagan and a lot of different things. Now Paul come preaching the gospel, and now they, you know, it's changing everything that they have been accustomed to. Okay, so it's changing, you know, everything that they have been accustomed to doing, that now he's preaching the gospel and preaching Christ and what the standards of holiness, okay, and giving ideas on the best practices, okay, because we're going to see, we may not get to it tonight, but we're going to see what Paul's going to even say. I'm not even giving y'all this by commandment. I'm giving you this by permission, okay, which we do believe that Paul was spirit-filled and spirit-led. And so we believe that even in this, even though he may have stated this may not be a commandment from God, but it is inspired by the Holy Ghost, the best practice is the best way to do it. So great point, both men. All right, my sisters, what are y'all thinking? Let's go, Sister Tobit, since you was talking a lot of trash earlier. Sister Tobit, why would Paul start out why do you feel he would start out by saying, same question, or the same thing, it's good for a man not to touch a woman?
So personally, I think that it's a setup for the single, like, this is specifically going towards them. So it'll probably start leading about why we should not fornicate. Keep your hands to yourself. Obviously, touching starts to lead to other things. So for me, this verse in particular is for people that are not married. So I think it's a setup to set the foundation about, hey, keep your hands to yourself, men and women, if you are not married, before we get into those steps as we go deeper into the lesson. So I think it's like giving principles for single people and married people, but I think it's just starting with the single people. So basically, like I said, don't start doing things, you know, keep your hands to yourself, because then it'll lead to other things, which could lead to fornication, which we know is a sin.
Wow. Okay. Great point. Yeah. And I concur. I agree. Especially right here in just this passage about the single. So that's a great, everybody, it's great. That's a great point. Great point. All right. Evangelist Bugs, what you got? Same question. What are you seeing?
As a teacher and giving instructions to my students, if anyone's ever been in the classroom, they know the moment when you say what you said and they're like, okay, wait, what are we supposed to do? And in that moment, your eye kind of twitches a little because you're like, I just said this, so you weren't listening. So for me and my teacher point of view, it's starting off with, I said what I said. This is what I said. There's no gray area about this. This is what is best practice. So we can go forth from here, but let me go ahead and establish that this is, like Sister Tolbert was saying, this is our outline, this is our agenda. I want everybody to be on the same page, that we all agree that a man should not touch a woman. He should not be the one that is doing these things, and a woman should not be touching the man. We shouldn't find ourselves in these compromising positions. And so let's go ahead and establish this, so that way as we're going forward, everybody can refer back to the outline, and the reason why we're here is because of this.
All right. Great. All right. Great job. I got you, Evangelist Bugs. All right. You and Sister Tober. All right. Lady Zachary, what you got? I know you send down pens and needles. What you got, Lady Zachary?
This is good. This is real good. I'm enjoying it. Everybody pretty much said, pretty much sums it up, whether it's, you know, what your opinion was or exactly what was going on here. So pretty much celibacy, period. Don't touch a woman. Because if you touch him, and I remember my father-in-law before he passed and, you know, coming into that church, I would hear him say, when you hold hands, that's going to get old. Then you want to hug, that's going to get old. Now you want to kiss. That's going to get old. And now you're sitting on the couch. You're talking about, oh, we're just going to watch a movie. We got some popcorn. Now your hand going to places and you're touching. And then that leads to boom. And then once it's happening, man, I know, God, we shouldn't have did that. That's what I, every time I hear this, I think of my father-in-law when he gave that example, okay? And that applies even, I teach my children that now, my husband and I both, and I tell your kids the same thing, you know, save yourself, keep yourself until marriage. Well, it's natural. It's supposed to happen. No, it's not supposed to happen. You can keep yourself, but that's pretty much what he said. This is what you need to do, and if you don't, then you're going to have to reap the consequences of whatever the choice that you make. So that's what I see out of this particular your question.
All right. All right. That's good. Everybody, that's great. And I couldn't help but see it from the men and then to the women to see every viewpoint. Everyone said something a little different, but it all came together. And as a man, one of our themes, it starts as a man. I don't think one of my other brothers went here with it, but as a man, we start by what we see. Okay? We start by what we see. A man is visual. Okay, a man is visual. And before we even touch, or what draws our attention is going to be what we desire to touch. What we see is what we're going to desire to touch. Okay? What we see is what we're going to desire. So I can understand why, you know, just seeing, putting myself and my own, when it comes, just thinking of my wife, you know, even before we got married, just what I see. And sometimes, and my wife, you know, even though she's young, she grew up old-time holiness. Okay, and it's a reason for it. She grew up old-time holiness where they didn't wear pants. Now, some of you that's been in church for a while, that's been in the holiness church, you know how far back goes. They didn't wear pants, and they had to wear stockings. They didn't wear makeup. Their hair had to be a certain way. And, you know, if you look at what we call sanctification and holiness now compared to what it was back when I was coming up, my wife's coming up, the 80s and 90s, how the church women dressed to how they dress now is night and day. In the holiness church, me and my wife, we were sitting somewhere a few days ago, and we was eating dinner, and she just began to name some of these artists, some of these quote-unquote, and I really use quote-unquote, Christian or gospel women artists, gospel women, gospel singers. And then she was talking about how somebody compared them or put up something on YouTube, I guess, where their dress was compared to the secular dress. And you really couldn't tell no difference. I think it was more or less like, okay, which one of these are dressed, which one of these, I think it was four ladies, which one of them are in the church, or which one of them represents Christ? And you really couldn't tell the difference. So we go back to a man being visual first, okay, being visual first, and then what he sees, the next reaction that is natural, okay, that's natural to a man, is he's going to want to touch, okay? So you look at the days, you look at, let's just be real. Y'all know we are real church. Why do you think all these, the BBLs and BB and ABCDEFG and all this stuff is going on? Because women, they know. They're going to dress a certain way. Why? Because they want the recognition. In other words, they want a man to see them. Okay? Now, my dad and my wife just talked about my daddy, and another thing he used to tell us was, and he used to tell my sisters and the women of the church, if you can't deliver, don't advertise. Okay? Let me say it again. If you can't deliver, don't advertise. And what he was saying was, like I was just saying, about your dress, being modest. Okay? You're not leaving anything to the imagination anymore. All right, as a young man, 18, 19 years old, I never got chance, you know, to see my wife or my girlfriend, Pamela at the time, you know, in a way that was, you know, because she always had a skirt on. And every now and then, that skirt would show, you know, every now and then, her figure, because I was looking real hard. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to see, praise the Lord, hallelujah, you know, because I'm all man, ain't no funny bone. Only funny bone I got is if I hit my elbow and I crack a joke. So, you know, after she got my attention by her singing, that's what drew my attention to my wife, her singing. Then I started to really look, all right? And after looking for a while, yes, I want the touch. Yes, I wanted a hug. Hey, you know, I know your mama's sitting right there, but can I get a little hug as I get ready to go back to Linwood Park or back to Lawrenceville, wherever I was going? So men are visual, all right? And Paul knows that. Men are visual. So after that visual, okay, y'all just know. Let's be honest. The next thing a man is going to want to do is touch. Okay? That's the next thing a man it's natural. Okay? And ain't no speaking in tongues. Ain't no let's pray. You know, let's ask the Lord. No, it's in a man. It's put in a real man. It's I guess even in a funny man, he want to touch too. But still, back to the program at hand. Real man, he going to see it. And then those thoughts and things goes on in his mind, okay, in his natural mind, because he's a man, oh, how it's going to touch, how's it going to feel. Man, I wonder how that thing feel or whatever. I would love to hug her. I would love to squeeze her. All right? So Paul says, hey, now let me throw this back. Let me throw this. Remember also Jesus put it out there, a man even looking, oh, bless his name, there we go, about a man even looking on a woman, okay? If he look on her and desires her in his heart, he's already committed adultery in his heart. So that backs up what I'm saying about a man visual, okay, and looking. And a lot of men will be saved and will be have a lot more, be closer to God if they were blind. Okay, because a man, that's why, let's think, then I got to move along. Let's think. Ain't nobody selling, not that I know, and not that I ever get in it, lingerie for men. Okay, Victoria, there ain't no Victor's Secret. It's Victoria's Secret. Now, they may have a couple of things in there, but a real man ain't wearing certain stuff. I'm just, you know, I don't care how kinky you wear. A real man ain't wearing certain stuff. There's no, I haven't heard of Victor's Secret, okay? But I do know of Victoria's Secret. And I do know of certain things visual as a married man that I like to see. And since this is all married folks on the panel, you know, that we, you know, like to see our spouse in, okay? So Paul says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, okay? And there's been things that has went on in that man's brain that's leading up to that. So Paul going to make it clear, all right? Let's go into verse 2. Nevertheless, we might just get in verse 2 and might be done, you know, for the night. Nevertheless, okay, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Okay? Not just your boyfriend, not your girlfriend. Okay? And I know we living in an age now where we say common law, where we've been together 10, 20 years, no, you fornicating. You've been fornicating if you've been sleeping together 10, 15 years. Now, we can't go off what the government says. No, the church has to stick with the word of God. Okay? So, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. All right? Lady Zachary, let's go back to you. What do you feel Paul is saying right here? In verse 2, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Lady Zachary, talk to me.
Well, I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory. I start hearing feedback. But I want to say this first. You were talking about Victoria's Secret. I don't know. I like reading random things But a few years ago, I was looking at, you know, the history of Victoria's Secret, and the founder actually of that, the attire, the apparel, the lingerie, all those things, it was a husband and wife. So I can imagine that, yeah, that he did all these things, you know, and I'm pretty sure it was based off of his wife. And so going back to, I was just, hold on, I just had my notes, because this is good. So a scripture that I used to hear all the time growing up is a man not taking fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt. So for years I was like, what is that talking about? So I believe it was Solomon that was talking to his son, and he was asking a question, how can a man take fire in his bosom, literally, and his clothes not be burnt? And that's sin as well, okay? How can you, you know, but anyway, and then also it talks about how can, you know, you walk on coals and your feet not be burnt. And then it was going on, I think verse 3 or 4 was talking about taking another man's wife, being in the presence of another man's wife for a long period of time, and you can't even be around your wife for 5 minutes without being irritated.
Wow.
So when you're around the opposite sex and they're married, a husband spending more time with a married woman and a married woman spending all this time with a married man, you are setting yourself up for failure, because the devil, the enemy, he knows your weakness. And if there's a place where you're empty with your spouse, the devil going to send this one. They're going to ask you how your day going. They're going to tell you look nice. And they're going to try to fill those voids. But at the same time, it's setting you up for failure. Setting you up for failure. So that's what I look at. That's what I got.
Great point. Great point. And that goes back to what we said in the beginning. Even in with couples, with married couples, we always recognize there is an enemy. Okay, there is someone, there's an enemy, especially believers. Okay, especially believers. I mean, he come against every marriage, you know, because he don't like marriage, but mainly believers. Okay.
Can I give that scripture?
Yeah, go ahead.
The scripture that I just was reading is Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 27. And like I said, that third verse was he talked to his son. So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her, shall not be innocent. You're committing. You're sinning. So I just wanted to give that scripture, Proverbs chapter 6, and the whole thing is good, 27 through 33. Thank you.
All right, great, Lady Zachary. Thank you for that. Evangelist Bugs, talk to me. What you see in verse 2?
I have a student that I'm trying to disciple right now, and we're having this conversation that you can dance around the sin as much as you want to, but eventually you're going to slip into it. And she is convinced that she can do everything but have sex and be okay. And so I keep trying to tell her, like, you have to be careful. You need to, you know, not put yourself in a situation where you're going to slip into this sin. And what you have is so precious that if he is not willing to lay his life down for you, then he doesn't get access to any part of you.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve it. He hasn't earned it. He hasn't proven himself faithful for it, so don't even allow him to have that part of you. And so if you want to have that part of me as a woman, you have to show me that once I give up the most vulnerable part of myself to you, that you're going to still be there. You are committed, not because of me and who I am, but because you, I made a vow to God. You love the Lord. You understand what this vow means, that no matter what happens to me, no matter what changes I go through, that you are going to be committed to be there. And then you can have access to me for the rest of your life. But if you are going to up and change your mind one day, well, then you need to make that decision before we say, I do. And if you can't make that decision, then I will say to myself and you can say to yourself.
Yes, yes. All right. Okay. The evangelist department, they working over there. All right, come on, Sister Tolbert, what you got? What you got in verse 2?
So, verse 2 can go in so many ways, right? But personally,
uh-huh.
I'm going to swing this in the direction to the parents for the children. And I say that to the parents for the children, to the parents for the children that have teenagers and to the parents that have children that are young adults. I feel like, especially having conversations with a lot of my teenage female cousins, you know, 11th grade, 12th grade, first year college students, different things of the sort, they feel like, well, I'm grown, I can do what I want to do. And somewhere along the line, as parents or as aunts or as big cousins or big sisters, we've gotten to the point to where we're like, you know what, you're right. But what happened to us teaching them to, you know, save yourself a marriage? What happened to us teaching them that fornication is wrong, that it's a sin? What happened to us that claim the name of Christ to teach our children or our loved ones, nieces, nephews, cousins, whoever, about celibacy? Somewhere we've gotten soft as Christians, and we have become accepting of things that are not Christ-like, and God is not pleased. I had to have a conversation here recently with one of my cousins when it came down to her daughter that's 17 years old, and I'm like, yeah, no, that's not okay. And another thing, and then I'm going to, you know, let whoever speak next. My husband and I, we are high school sweethearts. We've been together for 17 years now. I'm 32. He's 34 years old. And a lot of people look at it as glamorous. Oh, you know, people want that, and it is. And I love my husband, and I have a great husband, and I don't want nobody else, and I hope he feels the same. But with that being said, we were teen parents. Our first child, we had him out of wedlock. And people say, oh, well, yeah, it's okay because y'all are married now. No, it's not okay. Because had we died in our sin, in hell we would have lifted up our eyes. So as Christians, yes, you can repent. Yes, you can go to God and ask for forgiveness and make things right and correct it as we did. But in the meantime, we need to stop pacifying sin and putting Band-Aids on things and allowing our youth to think that it is okay because you are a young adult. Just because you are 19 years old does not mean that you, girl or boy, can go and give your body to someone that is not your spouse. That is Bible. So like I said, as believers, as Christians, we have gotten soft. And if this speaks to you, if it hits you, as my pastor says, say ouch and do better.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes. Wow. Woo-hoo. All right, listen. You're not going to get this type teaching from everywhere. You're not going to get this type teaching and this type Bible and principle scripture sound teaching everywhere. Not tonight. You ain't gonna get this from everywhere. We can look. We can just look at other ministries and. Not that we're not the only one. God got people all over that's doing it, but it is few and far in between. I'm definitely not saying we're the only ones teaching like this and proclaiming this, because we're not. God ain't that small. Okay, but it's not a lot. Okay, for the majority of what we hear on the YouTube is on the Instagrams and all this stuff. You ain't hearing sound biblical teaching. You're not hearing the gospel of holiness. You're not hearing abstain. Okay? You're not hearing celibacy. When last time you heard that? They sell them a bit. We got more. We got more women that sell a bit. They selling a bit of it. They selling a little bit here to him. They selling a little bit there to him, to over there. They taking trips and they selling a bit. They flying out, flying here. I never. God no. I would be scared to just. Nobody, you don't know the person. They flying you out and you're hooking up. I mean, all this is what's going on in our world. All this is what's going on. And it like Sister Tover just said, it seemed like it's okay. It just seemed like it's, hey, that's what everybody's doing. But somebody got to say something. Somebody got to cry loud and spell not. Somebody got to be willing to say, you know what? You can talk about me. Matter of fact, don't invite me no more, because you already know what I'm going to say, man. Before I take it back, I'm going to add more to it. So if that means you can't invite me to your house or you can't invite me to going out, then so be it. It's probably best I stay at home anyway. I don't go, just personally, I don't go out with a bunch of folk anyway. My wife, I'm okay at home, not doing it. And we don't even go to a whole bunch of churches. Zachary's in a church, in a different church. You got to be doing something, because I'm scouting out everybody. I'm looking at everybody. We was at a church. My wife had this. She was the sermonic soloist at a church the other night, a church we've been knowing pretty much all our lives. And the guy, he didn't know my wife, and he said he was introducing her as Pastor Pamela Zach, and I started making a disruption, and then he said, "Oh, I meant First Lady." Then he said, "Same thing." And I started making a disruption. I said, "No, it ain't the same thing. I don't sleep with a pastor. Now I don't sleep with another preacher. She can expound and she teach the word and she proclaim as an evangelist. But one pastor in my bed, and I'm the only pastor." Okay, we not in this church. Ain't no co-pastor. My she's my wife. So I started making a disruption. My wife would tell you that he cleared it up. I don't know if he heard me, but I was making it plain and clear. My wife ain't no pastor. I'm her pastor. Okay? Anything with two heads is a freak. Let me say it again. I'm gonna get to the men and we'll be through tonight. Anything with two heads is a freak. Okay. And we sticking with the word in here. We sticking with the word. And the husband is the head. I don't care what position the wife claims, the husband is the head according to the scripture. All right now. All right. Great job, ladies. Men, Deacon Bugs, let's go to you just with verse 2. I already knew we was not going to get far with this, but I'm so enjoying it. We're probably going to be in here probably the rest of the year, just because we're going to go verse by verse. We're going to go line upon line, and we're going to have expository, meaning we're going to walk through this and take our time with it and build up the anticipation from month to month. Because my wife would tell you, Minister Sistova to tell you also, you know, when we went through counseling, I think, you know, they went through counseling and all that with us, these are some of the scriptures that I use, that me and my wife use during counseling, you know, new couples and even couples that was going through in different things. This is what we use. And every now and then, my wife will remind me of what I taught. And let me say that again. Every now and then, my wife has to remind me of what I have taught. Okay? And I have to remind her. And a lot of times we fight. In most cases, we'll fight with the scripture, okay? And she'll bring up a scripture to me, and it'll hit me. And instead of me just taking that right then, it's hard to take right then. I got to throw a scripture back at her. And then we'll just throw them, and neither one of us will get it, and then it'll be later on like, no, she was right. I need to work on that. And that happened to me today. Just reading something, it's like, yeah, I got to make sure I got to do better. Even after 20-something years, okay, you got to do better, all right? Deacon Bugs, what are you seeing in verse 2? Talk to me, young man, talk to me.
In verse 2, for me, hold on one second. that I look at while I'm talking. For verse 2, man, I mean, everybody's been saying, everybody's been talking good about it. For me, what I think, too, is my wife and I, we've been together for this, well, this time around, we've been together since 2017, and I'll never forget, she was really kind of like, she was saying, hey, we should go and get married now. Like, we both love each other like, a lot, and I was like, to wait a little bit and stuff like that. But for me, I don't know why I chose to wait that long to propose to her, because I knew that I loved her a lot and whatnot. And I felt like we missed out on the benefits of us being able to experience each other a lot more and not feel like, you know, we're, you know, like you were saying, First Lady, about, like, you know, holding hands gets old, hugging gets old, all that stuff like that, and just kind of, like, risking, like, the blessings, you know, for us for down the road and whatnot. And looking back on it, I'm like, man, like, I knew I loved this woman, like, as much as I loved the church and whatnot. I knew that, you know, all this stuff, and I guess for me, going back on it, yeah, just grateful I'm here now. But yeah, I'm good. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm rambling.
No, you good. And thank God, as you were saying, thank God it did happen when it happened. Okay? Thank God you did step up. And because a lot of men, they will, especially if that woman ain't putting a little pressure to say, hey, what you going to do? You, as the old folk, as we used to say, you going to barbecue a meal, dude. What you going to do? You going to cook? What's up? Okay? And see, in my situation, Ms. Tova, be ready, because you're going to be the last one with this tonight, and we'll be through. And my situation was a little different. I had to wait, okay, because like I say, she was around 15, 16, so I had to wait till she was 18. Okay, I could have, if opportunity had presented, yeah, I may have done it sooner, but, you know, so, you know, thank God you did do it, okay? As another young man, and both of these couples, the Tovers and the Bugs, are younger than me and my wife, so, you know, and we have some other younger couples and some couples older and some around the same age in our ministry. But we all have a story to tell, okay? And one way or the other, and I, you know, the Toberts, I remember them. I've been knowing Sister Tobert for a long, since she's a little girl. So I've been knowing her longer than I've known Minister Tobert, but I know that story. So, Minister Tobert, go ahead on and give us the final comments. I'm not going to do a round robin. Just give us your final comment, and then I'll give the offering, and then I'll do the benediction. So, Minister Tobert, give me your final comment on verse 2.
Okay. I would say, first off, like I said, everybody is doing so good with this Bible study. And when it comes down to what Paul is talking about, of course, you want to avoid fornication. And by doing so, you know, that's talking about, you know, getting married. And I can think back to earlier on in my relationship with my wife. I can think all the way back to, you know, when we were still in that dating stage and everything like that. You know, you want to kind of get that thing going. It hits you at one point where you know you want to marry her. You know, I knew I wanted to marry her, and I got tired of, you know, going to bed at night, and I got to, you know, pray because of, you know, what we just did, you know. So once you get tired of doing something like that, you know what I'm saying, got tired of repenting, you know what I'm saying? This is keeping it real now. You know what? You know, this is what Paul's talking about now. You know, so make sure that, you know, you want to go ahead and get married, and it become a lot easier to fall asleep then, you know what I'm saying? So you just got to, you know, make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing it the right way, you know. That's how it's supposed to be, you know, man, you know, hey, with your wife, you know, so making it plain and clear, you know, so... The other thing I would say, Pastor, don't throw me off. Other thing I would say also, just making sure that, you know, that when you come into it, that you know that you love someone and that you want to, you know, marry them and stuff. You want to stay focused in the meantime because, you know, that can throw you off. That's what Paul was talking about in verse 1, you get to, you know, doing something a little bit too soon that could throw you off. So for the young converts and the people that are just starting out, especially if you're in a relationship, this is the goal. You're in a relationship to try to see about marriage. You know, you're not just giving your body away to any and everybody at any moment. You know, this is what it's all about. So to avoid fornication, you know, promoting marriage, promoting, you know, holding yourself and getting married. So this is what you're supposed to be doing, is doing that. And also, last thing I'm going to say is, if we look at in this thing, in this verse, it says, you know, let every man have his own wife. So even at that point, make sure that you stay to your wife. You know, you can't, once you get to that point, and you've gotten married, you say every man have his own wife. So that means don't have googly eyes for somebody else's wife. Don't you get involved with somebody else's wife. You got your own wife. You know, if God gave you your good thing, you take care of your good thing. And y'all, you know, be fruitful and multiply. So enjoy your praise and pancakes with your own spouse. Don't worry about, you know, having breakfast with everybody else, you know. So that's it. Amen. I ain't going to go too far, Pastor, because I'm going to leave it there.
Amen.
All right. Great. Oh, man, this has been good. No, this is 8 o'clock. All right. Listen, this is Praise Tabernacle Church. This is our Tuesday night family night Bible study. And you heard it. You heard, we only get through two verses tonight. You heard the raw truth. And as the old folks say, it's the butt-naked truth. It's the butt-naked truth. And I like the end of what Minister, like everything everybody said, but that end part of what Minister Tobin said, the bar fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. We ain't no polygamists here. Okay? We don't believe, if you gonna have a sweetheart and a wife, let your sweetheart be your wife. Okay? And the same way about your husband. Hey, you going to have a sugar daddy? Let that be your husband. Let your husband be your sugar daddy. All right? You can't. Hey, one for one. For this cause, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two become one flesh. Not they three become one. They two. One man and one woman. Okay? This is sound biblical teaching tonight, sound Bible teaching. That's what you get every Tuesday night from us. Okay? So be encouraged. Listen, this Sunday, just a quick announcement, this Sunday is Easter Sunday, the Sunday that has been set aside for us to acknowledge and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is few and far between. If you ever come to our church or watch us, you're gonna hear an Easter message pretty much every Sunday. We always teaching and preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This Sunday, if you're not doing anything, you're in the area, come out. 275 Simonton Road Southeast, Lawrenceville, Georgia 30045. Meet us at Simonton Elementary School's cafeteria. We're going to be there this Sunday. We'll be starting at 8:30. We're going to have the women who are going to be in charge. This Sunday, we're going to have about an hour-long service. Not going to have a long service, have about an hour-long service, and then we will have breakfast. We want to have a fellowship breakfast, okay? That way we can just sit down and fellowship with each other. So we're going to have about an hour, maybe an hour, 15-minute long service, and then we're going to go into our fellowship breakfast. This Sunday also will be our fundraising Sunday, every last Sunday of the month. We come together. We have a goal in which we're trying to reach so that we can be better prepared for when we get ready to move to our next location. We want you to help us. This Sunday, we're going to be passing out we got a fundraiser we're going to be doing for the month of April. It's going to be a calendar. Very simple, very easy fundraiser, simple calendar. You're going to just whatever date that the individual choose, that's the amount that they're going to donate. So if they choose April the 15th, they'll be donating $15. Okay, so we want all the members to participate so that we can work together to help fundraise for where our next move is. All right? So this Sunday, Easter Sunday, meet us. That doors will be open around 7:45, 8 o'clock. We'll be setting up 8:30. We'll be getting it rolling. We'll be lifting up the name of Jesus. The women's going to be in charge. And by 9:45, we will eat breakfast, sit down, and break bread together. As we get ready to leave tonight, if you would like to be a blessing, if you've been touched by this, if the Lord has pricked your heart and you would like to be a blessing to this word on tonight, to this ministry, you can do so. Our church cash app is $PTC877. Once again, $PTC. That's national praise cap. And the number's 877. That'll go directly to our church account. Or our extended arms ministry, which is our outreach to our community. If you'd like to be a blessing, you'd like to help us out, you can. The cash app is $, the word extended arm with no S, extended arm, A-R-M, extended arm. And may the Lord bless you real good. Listen, come on, see us Sunday. Come on, be a part of this great ministry. If you can't come out, then tune in live and go to Praise Tabernacle Church on Facebook, and you can be a part of our great service. God bless you. We love you, and may his peace be with you. We leave this place for never God's presence. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God bless you. Good night.